If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz and another Nets loss. The Nets go down to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 124-108. And you know what? I'm going to start with the positives. We're in the new year, at least down in the Southern Hemisphere. Maybe some of you guys will be listening to this in 2024. So let's start with some positives. That first quarter was some of the best basketball I think the Nets have played all year. Now, the opening possession ended in a shot clock violation. I'm like, oh God, here we go again. But there was ball movement. There was efficiency. There was purpose in getting to the line. Bridges was awesome. Cam Thomas came in and was giving it a real spark offensively. Then it's driving the ball. There was passing, ball movement, player movement. There was some nice lineup combinations from Jacques Vaughn. We had Dennis Smith Jr., Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, Royce O'Neal, Daron Sharp. That was just a really nice sort of combination. And the Nets were just playing quality ball all around. You know, the Nets started another three from Bridges. The Nets started 6-7 from the field, you know, to get an 18-8 advantage. And I'm just like, okay, don't get caught into this. I think I sort of tweeted out. And then I did. And the Nets ended the quarter still, you know, with an advantage, 36-33. And you're like, okay, well, the Oklahoma City Thunder are one of the best teams in the NBA, let alone in the Western Conference and away from home for the Nets. You still think that the Nets are going to be doing some stuff. So, you know, we head into the second. You know, there's a couple of good moments here or there, but ultimately the Nets get outscored 26-20. And it was a bit of a slog all round. You know, the Nets were 4-14 from the field, you know, to start the quarter. They just couldn't generate anything offensively. And that trend really sort of continued into the third. DFS had a really nice sort of pump fake and dunk. I thought his game was all right overall. You know, Clax was showcasing a lot of his rebounding abilities. The Thunder are an awful rebounding team, so Clax really made them pay on that end of the floor. But this was tweeted out by Doug Norrie of Locked On Nets. And, you know, we saw that Cam Thomas exited with 6 minutes left in the second quarter with 16 points, and he didn't return. So halfway through the second, the Nets are struggling for offense. Their best, most efficient offensive player, who I think was 6-10 from the field for his 16 points, didn't come back. And this was the explanation from Doug Norrie, and I will preface this. He said he didn't agree with it. And he said, Cam Thomas's minutes seemed to align with avoiding SGA as much as possible. There was specific overlaps here or there. Now, the Nets shot like 62% in the first quarter and then 25% in the second. I don't understand the rationale of Jacques Vaughn at all. Like, at all. I just think, now, I don't want to get pigeonholed into being CT obsessed, but this was like plain for everyone to see. It was as like the windows have just been shined. You've just got a new pair of glasses. The contacts are all shiny and good. What the hell is going on? The way that Cam Thomas was managed throughout this game, let alone many other games this season, was blatantly awful. Like, blatantly awful. With a capital B and a capital A. I just don't understand when you are struggling to create a level of offense and you have a really young, budding player who has a lot of offensive talent and you choose to go away from him, despite the fact that Cam Thomas, when he's in rhythm, can really give you scoring in bunches. And the Nets, like, severely lack scoring. In the second and third quarters, they scored 43 points to the Oklahoma City Thunder's 56. And they didn't get much better in the fourth either with 29. Now, some of that's junk time, etc., etc. But I just don't understand it. Like, I'm struggling to come up with the rationale. And I'll keep an eye on Twitter as I'm, because I'm doing this right after the game, seeing if there are any quotes about or if there are any questions around Cam Thomas and his game management throughout this game. But I don't understand how Spencer Dinwiddie can get 36 minutes, 4 of 13 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3 at 13 points, and Cam Thomas gets 26, 10 less minutes, and he started 6 of 10 and then went 1 of 8, I think, something around that sort of range. And that was because he was taken completely out of rhythm. Like, I just don't get it. It feels like there is a different set of rules or a different set of standards for Cam Thomas compared to Spencer Dinwiddie, Dennis Smith Jr., Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, whoever else it might be. It's just like, now you guys can make some mistakes. And for me, I don't think there even was, like, there was some defensive fouls and some defensive lapses from Cam Thomas, but Spencer Dinwiddie is as bad, if not worse, than Cam Thomas this season on defense. And that's saying something, because Spencer in the past has shown some moments on defense as a Brooklyn Net. I'm not saying this year, but I'm saying in the past, he has size at the guard position, but Cam Thomas is at least showing engagement and effort, which is, I think, more than we could probably say for Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie's shooting, like, barely above 39% from the field, barely above 32% from three. Like, what is the decision making to... I get starting DFS. I completely agree with that. I think Spencer Dinwiddie should be freaking benched for Cam Thomas. Like, I think Billy Reinhardt, and I retweeted this and advocated for it, or just agreed with it, sorry. The fact that the Nets are now on this recent stretch of being bad and not fun, it makes it, like, makes it really hard to sort of, like, do podcasts, let alone do solo podcasts. I know Nick did a fantastic job after the last game speaking quite eloquently about the direction of the team and where it currently stands. I'm probably going to do a little bit less than that. I'll be probably a bit in my feels and not provide the level of objectivity and level-headedness that my guy Nick does. But in saying that, this Cam Thomas thing is getting out of hand now. Like, what is the direction of this team seems to be rudderless. And at the very least, you can inspire a bit of enthusiasm from the fans by playing a young player who's got a lot of talent, who's shown a lot of promise this year and in game and in years past. But you choose... I just really don't know. Like, this game, probably more than any other, like, I get in certain stretches, in an objective world, I get sending Cam Thomas to the bench because of the balance and because of that Spencer and Cam just don't work together, despite the fact that Jacques Vaughn continued to play those two together tonight in so many different combinations. I just didn't get it. Again, I credited him earlier for playing a lineup which I think maximized Cam Thomas's strengths, playing some defenders around him, some shooters, some ball handlers, but... I think we should just go to a break, guys. And after the break, maybe there'll be some more Jacques Vaughn talk and some more game chatter. But, man, happy New Year, everyone. And join me after the break for some more Nets chat. Now,
with Father's Day right around the corner, what do you give to the man who has everything? Easy. You give him an experience he'll never forget. You give him Omaha Steaks. Because a world-class dad deserves a world-class steak. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with hand-selected gift packages starting at just $89. Just go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout for an additional discount when you shop gourmet gift packages for Father's Day. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor, endless variety, and endless value. Truly, they have perfected more than just steak. Your dad is guaranteed to love every bite. Go to omahasteaks.com, use the promo code BLUEWIRE to get an exclusive savings. Shop for unforgettable gifts that are guaranteed to make Dad's Day. Because if there's one thing that Omaha Steaks knows, it's that dads want steak. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to save on exclusive packages starting at just $89.
I guess we should go to Mikal Bridges for a little bit. He started the game like a house on fire, and then the house remained on fire, and we couldn't blow it out because Mikal Bridges, I think, went like 0 of 8 after, and then like hit a layup, you know, in the third or fourth. It was just a game of like, if you just watch the first quarter, you're like, damn, this is Mikal Bridges from latter points last year, that 27 points per game on really efficient scoring, driving, hitting the three ball. And then beyond that, it was like, this is a completely different player. This is the player that has been struggling, has been up in his head a little bit, hasn't been as purposeful. And I think it's emblematic of the team overall. Like, he's one of the team's leaders, one of the team's best players. And when he's playing like this, or when he played like the last three quarters like that, then it just, the wheels fall off. You know, he had 7 assists tonight. I actually have in my draft, I'm not sure if I am going to tweet it out eventually, is that his playmaking is the one thing that I have seen from him that's improved this year. Like, he had some nice probing sort of plays, and he looks for his spots, but then he has the awareness and the reads to make the kick-out passes to guys for three or to guys that are cutting. Like, that's something that I'm going to fully give Mikal Bridges credit for. Like, I think some people might get the wrong idea that I'm maybe too down on the Nets and I'm a bit irrational, but you know, I feel how I feel. I'm invested in this team, but yeah, and I'm invested in Mikal Bridges as well, because I think I know what his potential. We've seen the stratosphere, the highest of highs with him. Now, I'm not saying we've seen the lowest of lows. I don't think he's been like an awful player, but he's been a negative player in a lot of stretches because of his lack of defensive execution, which has been, you know, a real highlight of his overall career, but not this season as a Brooklyn Net. You know, his 3-point shooting is an area that I was really promised to sort of see. You know, he missed like some just really easy corner ones tonight. You know, he hasn't taken many of those sort of pull-ups other than that first quarter where like he was just shooting them and not really thinking. Tonight it was a game of two halves, or a game of one quarter and three quarters for Mikal Bridges. But yeah, hopefully just you watch the tape from the first quarter and you go, maybe you just ignore some of the things from the last three and go, this is what you can do, this is what you can be, and just hopefully he starts to put things a bit more together and we get some more consistent stretches from Mikal rather than quarters by quarters. But Nick Claxton tonight, you know, 37 minutes, 5-11 from the field, 5-10 from the free throw line. They started the old Hacker Clax, which was dumb. I don't get it. 16 boards, including 6 of them offensive, 5 assists, a steal, a block, including like a wild highlight where he blocked Josh Giddey and then was looking like Giannis in the open court. You know, crossovers and like the handle looked clean as hell. For his 15 points, so had a nice 15-15 for him. But I think overall from Clax is the efficiency hasn't been there. Like last year, he was like a league leader in field goal percentage. Now, like we're starting to see now, I don't know if it's his confidence, his execution, his whatever, but those sort of little floaters, the left hand, the right hooks, the left hooks just have been falling in and out, and I don't feel as confident in him taking them either. Now there's certain points in time where Clax goes on these little mini stretches and bursts where he looks like that efficient player. Now I think the system in general isn't utilizing his strengths on both ends of the floor. I still think Nick Claxton is a very good NBA player. Do I think he's a $25 to $27 million player? Absolutely not. Do I think he's a $15 to $18 million player? Yeah. And I guess in saying that, like, there's trade chatter around him now. I just think that he's not at his best. And if we were talking about, like, trading Nick Claxton last year, you're like, oh, cool, let's get, like, all these picks back. You know, the Raptors were highly interested in him, and I just don't know. He's not at the Clax City level. As I, you know, I'm always a big fan of Nick Claxton, but I don't think he's at the level that the high standards that I have for him, similar to Mikal Bridges. Like, two of your three, four best players not playing to their potential in a team that doesn't have superstar talent, that's just how it's going to be. And I guess it reminds me of the Jacques Vaughn quote before the game. Now, stick with me, guys, on this one. He said this: we need each other. I'm not a Hall of Fame coach, and we have no all-stars on our team. So this is a collective group that has to play together on every single night and will continue to grasp that ideal. But that's the challenge for this group. Now, it was interesting. It was literally like a lot of people were like, this is great. Like, this is the forthright sort of Jacques Vaughan that we sort of need. And other people were like, no accountability. I was like, somewhere in between, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a quote. I think it's somewhere in between. Now, he's obviously not a Hall of Fame coach. I don't think he's even in the top half of NBA coaches, to be fair. I think he's in the bottom 10, and that's being maybe slightly generous. So to see that first quarter, like, I bought in probably a little bit too much and drank the Kool-Aid, and it tasted good, and then it turned sour. It turned sour for Jacques, it turned sour for the team overall. The game management for him was left a lot to be desired. The players themselves performed to varying degrees. I guess I'll get to the rest of the guys. Dorian Finney-Smith, 3 of 13 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, 6 boards, 2 steals, 2 assists and a steal. Cam Johnson, 5 of 11 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. Like, the Nets were 12 of 46 from 3. 12 of 46. Now, they started, let me find it. I've got it in my notes here somewhere. They started 6 of 10, 60%. Things are great. The identity of the team was just like there, and it looked great. Like, the Nets were getting out in transition and in semi-transition as well, really pushing that sort of pace and generating offensive opportunities and putting the pressure on, you know, one of the better defensive teams in the NBA in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then they go 6 of 36 beyond that. That's like 17% from 3. Like, it's just not going to work. Like, overall, I think this was at around the late third. Like, the Nets started 13 of 21 from the field, then went like 16 of 60. Like, it was a tale of, like, as I alluded to with McHale, like, one quarter and three quarters. Like, the Nets played 12 minutes of basketball, and against a team as good as the Thunder, it's just not going to work. Just as simple as that. So, yeah, and look, when Cam Thomas was entered, you know, he was entered at 3:03 in the third, so like 9 minutes. So he missed 15 minutes straight of game time. Like, it's nonsensical. Like, I just don't understand it by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I just, making sense of nonsense is, it just feels like, what is the current iteration of the Brooklyn Nets sometimes? Like, what's the direction? Like, where are we as we currently stand now? You know, I think Nick probably summed it up best. Like, go listen to his solo pod. I think he did a great job of that one. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., I think, was okay tonight. I think he continues to be, you know, a pretty positive player. I like the combinations of him and Cam Thomas together. Him and the thing that, it's weird, like, the Nets have three starting caliber guards, Dennis Smith Jr., Spencer Dinwiddie, Cam Thomas. But it feels like Cam Thomas gets given the shortest leash. Like, or, like, and I don't, like, as I alluded to, I just don't see the mistakes that he was making tonight. Like, Lonnie Walker is waiting in the wings for the Pelicans and Rockets games. He's joined us on the road trip, so hopefully he can join us soon, provide that spark offensively that the Nets so sorely need. So, yeah. I'll keep trying to find a few little things, guys, but I guess I wanted to also point out, Brian Lewis reported that the NBA is considering punishing the Brooklyn Nets after that roster controversy against the Bucks. Now, and I quote this from the article, the NBA is reviewing the Nets' decision to field a threadbare roster against the Bucks on Wednesday, the Post has learned. The league is determining whether it rises to the level of a finable offense. Now, like, I feel bad. I didn't give my, like, I think Nick and I did give our thoughts in general, and I was more measured, but looking back on it and thinking about it, like, if I'd paid for seats and there was some really, like, not heartbreaking stories, but frustrating stories from Nets fans, and look, I think that as a fan and as a person who loves this team, like, I want, and Jacques Vaughan's reasoning after the game left a little bit to be desired. And Bridges as well wasn't a fan of it either. I think they should. Like, I think it was like 25 grand, I think, is the number that's being sort of floated around. But that set a standard of, not incompetence, but like, does each game actually matter? For a team that is building on this sort of culture of all one in, all in, radical transparency, X's and a, like, culture, vibes, all that sort of crap, to dismiss a game so, like blatantly is, like, it's ridiculous. Like, the Nets aren't, you know, the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Thunder for that sort of, in that sort of respect. Like, they need to make each game count. And, you know, the Nets pick is currently, you know, controlled by the Houston Rockets. So, like, I just think that set, like, the Wizards game was obviously blatantly awful. The OKC game might have been, I don't think it was just as bad, because, like, the Nets had, like, 20... Let me actually double-check it, because they had 100 field goals to the Thunder's 83. 17 more field goals. They shot 38% from the field, mind you, as well, and they had 11 more free throws and missed 11 of them themselves. So, you look at all those stats, and the Nets should win this game. But offensive execution, defensive lapses, allowing them, the Thunder, to shoot, you know, 54.5% from three and 54.2% from the field. Like, you're not going to win a game, many games. I mean, the Nets should have. It was just deplorable offense and some deplorable defense at different points in time. But yeah, the general premise of where the Nets currently stand is one that is not rosy. Like, the Nets are just average. And look, I'm comfortable with being average if there's some silver lining to that. Like, you know, I like, there's not every team is going to be the best team in the world. Like, it's just, you want to see some bright spots when things are struggling a little bit. So, and yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie tonight. Okay, so this was, I found this quote. Jacques Vaughan tonight's loss to the Thunder. We did a lot of good things. It was just one of those nights that the shots didn't go in for us. Yeah, well, the shots went in, and then you had a guy where the shots were going in, Cam Thomas, excuse me, and you choose to go away from a guy that's putting the ball in the basket and continue to play crypto point guard Spencer Dinwiddie, who hasn't put the ball in the basket all freaking year. I alluded to his numbers earlier about being below 40% from the field, below 33% from three. Like, he's not a good offensive... He's a good offensive player in terms of his stability, playmaking, etc., etc. But he gets ball hockey, he makes bad decisions, and he's inefficient as hell. Like, it feels like there's a narrative, whether it's from Jacques Vaughan himself, that's like, Cam Thomas is the inefficient chucker, when it's Spencer who's the inefficient chucker. Yeah, just make that one make sense. Like, come on, man. Like, really? Really? Really, Jacques? Jacques Vaughan also did allude to the fact that Nets are 2 of 20 on corner threes tonight. So they got the right shots, they just didn't hit them. So he was right in saying that. I don't disagree with him entirely. I disagree with him on a lot of other respects. I guess that's the way I'd put it. Where the Nets currently stand, guys, you tell me. Hit me up in the DMs, hit Nick up in the DMs, let us know your thoughts. Subscribe to the Brooklyn Buzz and all streaming platforms. We appreciate all the support throughout the years. And hopefully 2024 is a big year for the Buzz and an even bigger year for the Brooklyn Nets. Happy New Year, everyone. Nets World.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.